Hey guys, welcome to episode 13 of Launch and Learn. I'm your host, Matthias Stickerhoff, and along with Alexander Thompson, we get to interview entrepreneurs who have launched companies around the world. So today we get to talk to Ishita Cabra, who is the founder of By Rotation, an online peer-to-peer marketplace for clothing. So we're going to talk to her about how she built her community, how she entered the fashion industry, and how she built the product with a team of freelancers. All this and so much more. Stay tuned. It's a great episode.
Thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thank you so much, Alexander and Matthias.
So, Ishita, what did you have for lunch today?
So, I had leftover pad thai from last night.
Very
nice.
Good.
I like pad thai. Big fan.
What did you guys have?
Today, I just had a Greek salad. There's a nice restaurant by our office here, so we went for Greek food.
Oh, amazing.
Of all the days you asked me today when I chose a pizza, I actually eat very, very healthy. Today was a cheat.
Sure.
And I'm pro veggies, but today was a pizza with kebab on.
Kebab pizza.
Yeah, kebab pizza, exactly. So, Ishita, what was your sort of first exposure to startups and, you know, why entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the startup that I'm kind of thinking about, maybe I mean it more as a small business kind of thing, as opposed to like, you know, one of those techie Silicon Valley startups. But that was, you know, my parents. I grew up in a very entrepreneurial family. My dad had a marble and granite export and import business in Singapore. And, you know, I had seen it growing up since I was, I guess, 3 years old when we moved to Singapore. So, yeah, I was always sort of very amazed at how, you know, how he didn't seem to have any kind of boundaries when it came to his work and his personal life. So, yeah, it was kind of really nice to see someone so passionate about their work, something that I feel maybe you don't have as much when you have a corporate job. But, you know, that's a generalization.
Very good. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself as well, like where you're from and where do you study and sort of after university, what do you do?
Yeah, so my name is Ishita, as you guys know. I'm the founder of By Rotation. We're UK's first fashion rental app. We're also completely peer-to-peer, which means people are lending and renting their own wardrobes on the app. And as for my background, so I'm Indian, but I grew up in Singapore. So we moved there when I was 2.5, 3 years old. And I studied abroad. So I went to London for university. And that's where I met Alex, who was also part of a student society that I joined. And yeah, so after graduating, I actually worked in investment management for about 6.5 years. So completely unrelated to what I'm doing now. I did found By Rotation as a side hustle. And I did that for 6 months before actually committing full time and leaving my career.
And how did you get interested in the investment banking system? Was it just kind of like just as a result of your education, or did you have some interest there as well?
Yeah, you know, funny enough, ever since I was young, I used to be a graphic designer since the age of 11. So I always thought I wanted to end up doing like marketing or advertising, you know, one of those sort of Don Draper kind of things. But when I was in university, I kind of realized that if I wanted to end up working in the United Kingdom, I would need to be sponsored by a large company for my visa. And I realized that a lot of marketing firms, a lot of, you know, like a lot of the creative industry wouldn't support foreigners such as myself to work, you know, in that space because they already have a lot of British talent. And that's when I decided, I think I need to start thinking about, you know, other jobs where they would actually hire someone regardless of the color of my passport. And that's when I guess I fell into financial services. And I had an internship. Well, I had a couple of internships. I did a placement year during my degree, which I enjoyed a lot. And that's when I kind of decided that I would love to work in investment management. And I, you know, as you know, I ended up spending over 6 years there. So I really enjoyed it.
So while you're working, yeah, near the end of your time as an investment banker, you kind of had this idea for By Rotation. How did that idea come about? And how did you kind of start the product?
Yeah, you know, it came from a very first world problem when I was planning my honeymoon. This was in November 2018. I was kind of, you know, looking at social media and thinking about where I wanted to, you know, stay, where I wanted to eat, you know, what museums we wanted to check out. Sorry, can you hear my dog? He's like
Yes, we hear a bit. Yes.
I'm sorry. Just give me a second. James, can you take the dog? Saffron, you're being very naughty, my love. Sorry.
This is definitely going on the podcast.
No. I'm so sorry. He's very cute, but very naughty. He looks like a teddy bear. You got to take the boy away. He's being naughty. Shh. It's on record. Go away. Sorry. Yes. Okay. Sorry. So we were talking about how I came up with the idea. Do you want me to repeat that or just continue?
Just continue. It's fine.
This is going to go in the podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I was thinking about all the places I wanted to visit. So essentially I was planning my itinerary based off, you know, a Condé Nast Traveler, National Geographic and Instagram. And that's when I started thinking about all the outfits I wanted to wear on my holiday as well. So yeah, very first world problem of me. So I started thinking about, you know, fashion rental and how we don't really have any good options in the UK. So my sister lives in New York City and she used to be an unlimited subscriber of Rent the Runway, which I ended up trying a couple of times last year. And I began to kind of start thinking about what else there is out there globally. So whether there's Y Closet in China, Style Theory in Singapore, where I'm from, and just, you know, the general lack of options in the UK, which didn't quite make sense to me. It was not until I was actually on my honeymoon that I started kind of, you know, realizing how much textile waste the fashion industry has created. You know, this goes beyond the well-documented landfills that they show on all kinds of news articles. You know, I was seeing this in my suburban hometown in Rajasthan, India, which I hadn't been to over 12 years. And I kind of realized that, you know, my own sort of consumption habits, you know, were a part of this. You know, we in the so-called developed nations, we get all our garments made in, you know, African and Indian countries. And we end up sort of wearing them for like, I don't know, 10 times max. And then we end up throwing them in the landfill or, you know, donating them. And 90% of those donations always end up in landfills or they're sent back to these so-called developing nations. So I kind of felt like I was guilty and I wanted to start, you know, I start thinking about how fashion rental should be more about sharing what you already own. So, you know, all those people that I saw on Instagram, you know, posting a photo of themselves in a dress that you would never see again. It was really about like, you know, opening up their wardrobe for everyone else to share, as opposed to us buying that dress. So yeah, so that was kind of the premise of Buy Rotation. You know, it was very, I would say when I came back and I started digging more into the fashion industry and how it's the world's second largest polluter, that's when I kind of realized that this is a serious problem. And there should be a serious demand on the consumption side of things if people knew there was an alternative.
And going from that, I mean, how did you, what was sort of the next steps that you took? You know, how did you build the first version of your product?
Yeah, I guess very simply put, I, you know, started doing a bit of market research and testing. I'd already sort of started surveying my own friend circle and my family networks. But what I wanted to really get to know is what people who aren't exactly like me were thinking about renting from a stranger. So that's why I kind of, you know, set up this Instagram account to do a bit of marketing, to do a bit of testing, to see if there would be any kind of traction. And once I realized that, you know, this idea doesn't have legs, you know, people are increasingly talking about sustainability within fashion. And, you know, we obviously had Extinction Rebellion rallies in London. In October 2018. So, you know, all of this kind of made me more sure that there was, you know, a need for this product. So I tested, you know, so I created a very sort of simple beta platform over the weekend using my graphic design skills, my web design skills from back in the day. So I did this over a weekend in a very cost-effective way by using a white labeled, a marketplace model. And that was a web-based platform, and it was very simple. You know, you could make an account, you could list items, you could rent items, you could leave reviews. That was it. It wasn't pretty at all. You know, I think they even had like, it even had a bit of the advertising of the company that we're using in the footer. So we tested that and we had that for about 3 months, and we began to see transactions rolling in from across the UK. And we also started getting a lot of press mentions, whether that was in print, so in The Guardian, or online in a few more pop culture kind of magazines like Refinery 29. And that's when we kind of decided that looking at the back end, we were seeing about 70% of people accessing the web-based beta platform through their mobile. And I thought, you know what, let's make an app, because if you think about a lot of e-commerce websites, be it Zara or be it Net-a-Porter or the well-known Depop, a lot of them have mobile apps and they're trying to convince their customers to use mobile apps by offering them additional discounts. So, there's definitely a reason why they want you to come to their own environment as opposed to being on a web-based browser.
So yeah, let's say that I'm someone who wants to post some of my clothes on the app, maybe like the early version, to just to rent to someone. I guess I would be responsible for figuring out the price of that and the distribution. Like, how does the logistics work in terms of getting the clothes transferred?
Sure. So in terms of how you list an item, it's totally up to the lender. We've made it very flexible so that the lender is in charge of how much they want to charge, how long or how little they're willing to rent it out for. And we've noticed that lenders actually like this flexibility because certain items mean much more to them regardless of their retail price. However, we do have a user tip, so very similar to Airbnb, where we recommend you to charge not more than 5% of retail price of the item. So say your item is £100, we will recommend you to charge £5 a day for it. And maybe your minimum rental period would be 3 days. So for a weekend, someone wants to rent your £100 dress for £15. And in terms of logistics or fulfillment, we have taken the decision at the moment to allow our users to, kind of manage the whole process themselves. We do think that this is much more scalable. In the future, as we continue to grow and have more transactions on the app, we'd love to partner with sort of DHL or FedEx or one of those sort of courier companies. We've seen Depop doing that and it works really well. But for the meantime, we have sort of light touch partnerships by offering discounts with an on-demand courier and with also an eco-friendly cleaning company. But again, this is all very light touch. We just provide a discount code. The way that we kind of make sure that, the users are engaged and, they do fulfill their orders in a good way is by obviously introducing a rating and review system. So again, very much like Airbnb, if you listed a dress and turns out the dress is actually in very poor condition, you will have a bad review and a bad rating, and you'll probably be reported to us. And we would take actions whether to warn you or to block you as a user. So the goal is really to kind of make sure that the users are very proud of their profiles. And we have seen quite a few super users who take great pride in the items they're listing, the photos they're taking. They'll tell their renters, "Oh, please don't forget to leave me a review." So we've been seeing it kind of build up. And the show is really to kind of, add verified profiles. We've already been doing a few lender spotlights. But again, that's the future. We're trying to make it as simple as possible for a 10-month-old app.
And to create this traction of users, I mean, from day one, how did you do that? I mean, do you have certain marketing channels you're using, like Instagram, or how do you sort of build that traction?
I would say definitely for us, one of the main, I would say the most targeted way that we found our lenders and our renters is through Instagram. We'll run the odd Google ads and all of that. But we do find that so right now it's predominantly women. It's about 95% women. And I'm sure that will change in the future. But we're focusing on the working professional, and we find her on Instagram a lot. And therefore, we've been using that to kind of look for lenders. We've been using that to find renters. We've also found quite a few direct-to-consumer brands who are looking to sort of become, to find another sort of income stream, which is through rentals, and also to sort of gain brand awareness. So they're using the app to list their own items so that more people are aware of them and, have access to them without committing to buy, a £200 dress of a brand that they're not familiar with.
So yeah, you started the app and you were running it on the side, like as a side hustle for quite a while before you decided to run it full time. What made you make that decision to quit your job in as an investment banker and take on the project full time?
Yeah, so I had been running it as a side hustle for 6 months, which I personally think I could have gone longer. But, you know, I was just so hesitant to leave because, you know, there's so much security in, like, you know, a full-time job. And, you know, all these sort of things that come along with it, like, you know, having brunch, you know, going for yoga or Pilates, you know, those are the things I have to say I still miss because I can't really do them that easily. You know, I have to plan my way around so that I can finally make time for that and to have a social life beyond work. But, you know, I did it because by then I had already invested in building out the app, and that was going to be our final product. Obviously, we continued tinkering it, but that was meant to be our main product that we were launching. So I'd already kind of, you know, put my money where my mouth is. So it was kind of time to start being able to be a leader and show my face. So we were at a point where we were getting quite a lot of press mentions, you know, in Forbes, in British Vogue, and in Business and Fashion, which I've been told is a huge deal for any startup to be mentioned. And we couldn't show my face in any of them until I would leave my job. So that's when, you know, we start kind of having this agency problem where I had to start showing my face to let people know that this isn't something I'm doing for fun. You know, this is going to be the next big thing and I'm fully committed. And I knew that by leaving my career, I was showing people that, you know, I was sending a signal basically that this is the next big thing and I'm the leader. So we were being taken more seriously as a result.
Yeah. Speaking of which, you were featured in Vogue, like you mentioned, and I saw your post on LinkedIn saying that, oh, maybe I'll finally start reading fashion magazines. Which I found quite interesting. What was that like for you to get that kind of publicity, even if you didn't have your name, your face maybe mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I like fashion. You know, I love fashion, but I didn't love it for the glitz and the glamour. I just like it because, you know, it allows me to express my, you know, my mood, my feelings, my personal taste. It wasn't because I love the celebrities or the models or the designers or whatever. So coming into the industry, I have to say it's been quite a big culture shock. You know, it's still a very traditional industry. It's not as diverse as working in finance, even though finance gets a really bad name for some reason. And I mean, I have to say it's been really great because I was actually speaking to my partner about this last night, but you know, we always end up getting mentioned in magazines. You know, we were in print Vogue, which is a really big deal for a startup. And we didn't even know until half of the month went over that we were in the magazine because I don't read those magazines. And it's great because, you know, the industry respects you more if you don't sort of, well, firstly, if you don't know who they are, you won't freak out when you meet them. That's happened to me a few times that I had no idea who I was speaking to. And turns out, you know, it was the main fashion features editor of Vogue. And that's how we got our first coverage. So, and my PR loves it. She's like, you have no idea who you're talking to. It's great, you know? Yeah, I think for me, it's worked out to my advantage, you know, not knowing that much and sort of just going with what I think is right for the company and what I think a sustainable fashion company should look like. Because I'm trying, you know, I'm not trying to conform into the industry that is very broken. You know, I'm trying to change it and transform it. And I think people have liked that fresh voice.
I think it's incredible in such a short time that you've been mentioned in so many leading media sources. I mean, how did you manage to do that? I mean, what was the strategy that you guys took on to achieve this?
Again, you know, I didn't know much about the media industry or the fashion industries, as I mentioned. You know, I would say one of the things that has been very key, besides building a great product, I really believe in our concept and in the app that we've built. You know, I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from founders of really large e-commerce platforms. Won't give any names out there, but you can guess, who've been very, very positively surprised by the kind of app that we've built in-house. So I think definitely, you know, the product has to do with it. You know, people have tried out the product and realize this is not just a fad, or, you know, they're not just like being very loud and trying to get their name everywhere in press. They really believe in the concept and the product. So that's key. But I would say I've been very lucky that I was sort of approached by a one-woman PR agency So she's very, you know, bought into the concept of birotation. She, you know, treats it like it's her own business. And, you know, she's been very pushy. She's on top of everyone. She's on top of me. I'm on top of her. So it's been very good because we've kind of been being, you know, we've been very entrepreneurial about it. I'm not just yet another client to her who's giving her yet another monthly fee. So there's a lot of ownership, which I think, you know, has been able to inspire my team of freelancers. And, you know, it's made them also kind of get a lot of recognition in their industries for what they've done with us.
Yeah, let's go more into the product. Like you said, it's a big part of your success. And you've built it kind of unconventionally with a team of freelancers, as you mentioned. Why did you decide to go that route? And why do you think it's been so successful for you?
So the very honest answer is that I'm cheap. but cheapness is great because I think the days of, you know, all those companies, all those startups that were spending, you know, like a shitload of money just to sort of gain users and you know, send out a bunch of free products for marketing or whatever. I feel like all of those days are gone. Now it's really about who's spending their money very wisely and making their dollar travel the most. And I'm really that kind of person generally, you know. So I think it's been great in terms of value for money for us. Obviously, the business is self-funded at the moment. You know, I'm still bootstrapping. And that's why it was key to me to ensure that I wouldn't have any sort of, I guess, long-term commitments as a 10-month-old startup without knowing exactly where we were going. Because as we've all seen with COVID-19, you know, a lot of startups have been hit very negatively. I mean, we're talking about Airbnb, who's cut their workforce by 1/3. And, you know, for us, that's basically a leader of the sharing economy. So so I look back at my decision of being cheap or cost conscious, and I think it's been a really great one. You know, our freelancers worked with us full time, you know, during this period of lockdown, which continues for the past 5 months. And, you know, I didn't have to furlough anyone because no one was an employee. And one of the best things I think of having freelancers is that all of them have different clients. They have existing clients and they have sort of probably much more experience than I do in the industries. And they would be very expensive to hire if I were to hire them outright for the company. So it's great to get their skill set and their networks because I don't have either of those and I probably couldn't afford them outright. So we've really, you know, we've really leveraged their own networks and their other clients when it came to sort of collaborating with them or doing partnerships with them. It's really expanded my network and Birotation's network. So it's something that I would highly recommend for any startup. And I think a lot of people actually want to be freelance. That's what I've understood. You know, they like sort of managing their own time. They like doing different projects. So I think the workforce is kind of moving towards that direction. What do you guys think?
I think it's a very unique model. Like I agree that, like, you know, a lot of founders will think, oh, I need this much money to build an app and I need, then you lose some of your ownership of the company and you pay a sacrifice there for that to get that kind of money. So I think it's a very creative solution.
I think it's super badass. One concern I have, which is something you probably can elaborate on, is, you know, how do you collaborate effectively with them? Since I assume you work partly remote with them or as well as they have other clients, how do you sort of manage that together?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And I'm sure it will come up in the future when I have conversations with external investors as well. But I think the way that I've seen it is that the concept's very novel. It's very hot. You know, everyone in the UK and probably even Europe is talking about sustainable fashion. You know, there's been a lot of attention on garment workers and exploitation of human rights, supply chains being broken in fashion, yet fashion having, I think, two or three of the top billionaires of the world. You know, all those kind of things are coming into light, and we've got a very novel solution. You know, we're not just yet another sustainable fashion, you know, clothing brand or handbag brand or whatever. So the way that I've seen it is, you know, I can't pay much at the moment, but the ones who are very, very interested in our concept, they want to be a part of it in whatever capacity possible. So it's almost kind of worked the other way where they find it very desirable to be connected to us. And that's been great because I've seen and I've tested the people who work with me to understand that they're not just doing it for money. You know, they're doing it for their own you know, career development and their, you know, self and personal development. So it's been really great that way to have people who are very bought into the concept and they're doing it beyond money.
Yeah, I was wondering as well with that, I mean, looking ahead, are you planning to keep with only freelancers or also want to add some full-time workers or employees by rotation?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely want to do, once we've done our external round of financing, we would get a couple of people on board. But obviously, we're thinking about how much we want to raise and how many people will get on board. But I think definitely two, and I wouldn't be paying myself either.
You definitely mentioned sustainability a lot already as part of your key like rallying point for why you're interested in this industry. And you're actually listed in March as like 14 inspiring women leading the fight against climate change alongside some pretty big names. What did that mean to you when you saw that?
Yeah, I was honestly surprised. I was a bit appalled. And I was kind of like, is this a joke to be alongside, you know, Dr. Jane Goodall and you know, Greta Thunberg and stuff. So I do think it was a bit over the top, but I won't say I don't want it, you know? No, but it's amazing. And it's kind of given me like, you know, it's reminded me of my purpose, which is to make, you know, fashion more about being conscious as opposed to, you know, fashion and renting to be all about sort of, oh, I can access, you know, designer pieces for cheaper. You know, the conversation does start with affordability. Because, you know, we all do care about money. But I think we have seen our users becoming more and more aware of how bad the fashion industry is and how bad their consumption habits can be. So, you know, on the back of that, we kind of launched a new feature in the app where you can, it's called the impact scale. And you can see how much, you know, your, I guess, your positive savings on the environment when you're renting a dress as opposed to buying a new dress. So we've kind of built that in-house and we're talking to Ellen MacArthur Foundation to kind of, you know, verify it and also, you know, put their badge of it on it, I suppose.
And what is your monetization strategy for this? I know in a marketplace, it's kind of interesting to figure a way how to get your cut, but what is your approach there?
So for now, we've kind of tried to make it very simple because we want, you know, the users to, I think they're already like trying to get their head around rental and sharing their wardrobe and all of that. You know, it's a lot to take in. So we're keeping it very simple and we're telling them it's like Airbnb. So we only take a cut when a transaction happens. So we take 15 from the lender, 15%, and 15% from the renter. But again, it's otherwise completely free to download. You can list your items for free. You can message lenders for free to get to know how the fit of items is, etc. So it's completely free until you transact. But I think in the future, there are many different revenue streams we can think of, you know, whether it's like a tiered membership, whether it's sort of getting, you know, asking brands if they're interested to know what we're seeing when it comes to user engagement and the kind of products that they're interested in, our users are interested in. So I feel like there's quite a bit we can do in terms of income streams.
And talking about revenue and user engagement, I mean, what do you have a sort of a set of key KPIs that you're looking at or a particular North Star that you're really trying to achieve?
I think right now, you know, because we are only 10 months old, I would say that our key focus for this year, you know, for the rest of this year is really community building. One of our core values is community. The other is sustainability. We do build, I mean, it is my belief that if you get a very, very good developer, you can probably build our app, or you can build maybe a better app than us if you threw the right amount of money at it. What you won't be able to, I guess, emulate is the fact that we have built a very strong community of rotators, as we call them, who are very, you know, they're very sort of bought into our values and, you know, the rotators that they meet. So I think that's something that we're going to spend more time with for the rest of 2020. We did a very good job of it during lockdown when everyone was at home. You know, we're a digital only company. We don't have a physical store or whatever. So everyone was glued to their phones. And when they got sick of Instagram, they downloaded our app and they started listing their items while they were bored at home. So, you know, we really want to keep them engaged and kind of, you know, have them fully bought into us so that, you know, they, you know, if it's not going to be this year that they transact, they'll transact next year and they'll transact more in the second year and the third year, etc.
I think this community aspect is very interesting. You know, I think a lot of people, especially girls, are used to, I don't know, borrowing clothes from their friends. But this ability to just use that as a way just to meet people and create that kind of community is really unique. I think that's a really cool approach.
Yeah, it's great because, I mean, if you think about it, you might be with a group of friends who aren't the same size as you, so you couldn't really borrow stuff from them anyway. But you might see a stranger on the street who might have amazing style or at the same bar that you're at, and you're wondering if you could borrow their dress or where it's from or whatever, you know? So we really find that connecting people is one of our fortes, and people in the community love that. You know, they might not rent something from a lender right away, but they'll start following them on their profile. And then they'll start chatting and they'll be like, oh, you know, you have the same, I don't know, you know, bra size as me or whatever. What kind of styles do you think suits me? Because you look amazing or whatever. We've had those conversations. So we love that because we feel that they'll come back to us eventually and transact. And this is what I've heard about other marketplaces like Etsy.com, where, you know, one of the earliest investors was telling me that, you know, people would download, would make an account on Etsy.com, and they wouldn't transact in the first year. But in the second year, they'd buy one thing. And in the third year, they'd buy two things. And in the fourth year, they'll buy six things. You know, and that's kind of what it is about. It's really about, you know, making the name, you know, making the community more well-known, becoming a household name, and then scaling it.
And yeah, you mentioned different sizes. I think recently the fashion industry has come under criticism for, I mean, I think some changes happened, but for only catering to certain sizes. Have you seen this as a way for people to find more suitable clothing, like in their shapes and sizes?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, we are also, you know, this is something that's also an issue for us because, you know, we proactively have been looking for, you know, I would say plus size women to get on their app, because sometimes we have that chicken or egg problem because we're not buying any inventory. So we're trying to look for, you know, people of all sizes and of all styles, I suppose. And, you know, it is harder to find, you know, plus size women who are buying quality designer fashion. And they're also willing to lend it to others on the app. So it is a bit harder. And, you know, therefore, we've been approaching brands that do plus size clothing and asking them if they'd like to list their excess inventory onto the app and, you know, kind of, you know, use it as a different way to do their marketing and also, again, another income stream for them. But we're trying to think of those kind of ways. We're also talking to a few, I guess, well-known personalities who are plus size and trying to ask them if they'd like to sort of push this messaging to their audience so we can get them onto our app. But I completely agree with you. And it's something that I feel strongly about as well, because I want our community to be very inclusive, regardless of, you know, gender or age or, you know, socioeconomic background or, well, you know, the size of clothing they're wearing. So it is something that we're always working towards. But yeah, you're right. It's a challenge. We recently signed on an ambassador, and that's our first ambassador that we're signing on. And, you know, she is, you know, of African descent, and she's plus size, and she's really, really amazing in terms of her style and her taste. And we're really hoping that she's going to spread these messages to get people that she knows who might be able to lend out their wardrobe on the app as well.
From your experience so far, do you have sort of some tips for our listeners potentially how to, you know, build a community as you have done with by rotation?
Yeah, my thing is very much like being authentic. For me, you know, there are some core values that I kind of grew up with. For me, it's very important to be inclusive. You know, I'm a third culture kid. And, you know, I mean, Alex, you and I met in ISEC, which is, you know, all about globalization of students by finding them opportunities abroad. So I've always been of the mindset that, you know, everything needs to be open borders. We need to be welcoming to everyone because everyone adds value. And that's what I've built. That's what I brought to Buy Rotation as well. You know, this whole piece about being inclusive. And, you know, there might be some brands who are doing it now because of the BLM movement that we've seen, you know, as of end May. But for me, it's been something that's always been very important. And I think it's more important in fashion because fashion is known to be a very racist and traditional industry. So I think people are kind of liking the kind of messages that we're sending out about how, you know, you can share something of yours with someone that you would never meet. You know, you're star-crossed, but you get to meet each other because of your you know, interest in the same kind of clothing and style. So I think the way that you build community is by having core values that are very well communicated You know, you do that by, I suppose, you know, being vocal about them, the right kind of branding, the right kind of imagery. I guess those are the more practical things, I would say. But yeah, I think, I really think the other thing also, which we did quite early on, obviously pre-pandemic, was we were doing a few in-person events. So despite being a digital-only company, we ran a few events for our community, which was smaller then, but we would invite them to like free events at the pub or, you know, at like a brunch. We would run a competition to kind of get people together and, you know, in a way also do a bit of surveying. So, you know, while it's a fun event, but you're also kind of listening and trying to understand what motivates them and what they don't like. So I feel like those things have really gotten us brownie points. And I hate to say that any of this is calculated, but I like to think that this is just what I truly believe in. And I think people have seen that, you know, industry people have seen that, you know, journalists have seen that, and obviously our community has seen that. So just be authentic and honest, I suppose.
I'm sure it's been a quite a wild ride for you the last year, you know, leaving your job and running this company and all that stuff that comes with that. What are some of the biggest, I don't know, like growing moments that you've had where you've been really been stretched and discovered really more about yourself, I guess, as a leader?
Yeah, so one of the, I guess the three things that I learned, firstly, is to kind of look inwards and really know what you're good at and what you really lack in terms of skill set and competency. So I kind of knew quite early on the things that I wasn't good at. I'm not really huge on social media. I still kind of don't get it. You know, for me, social media is a way to show my holidays and you know, me going out with my friends, you know, and having a private profile. But, you know, it turns out social media can be used, you know, for marketing your business really effectively. And that's something that I'm not good at. So, you know, I very quickly got, you know, PR and marketing people to help me out, even though I thought I would be amazing at marketing, but it's not true. So yeah, so look inwards and kind of figure out what you're really good at and play to your strengths and seek out the people who are better than you, because that's what you want. And then the second thing I would say is find your tribe and sort of don't chase people who don't seem to get it or who maybe don't want to give you a chance. I had a few of these sort of, you know, it was quite hard trying to enter the fashion industry. I mean, this is just something maybe that's applicable only to me. But, you know, as a foreigner, as a brown female, you know, I didn't go to the same schools as these people did, you know, who all belong to the fashion industry. And I found it quite hard to enter the industry, even in the sustainable fashion space. And I kind of realized there's no point sort of trying to convince people who don't want to give you a chance. You'd rather go where you're loved. And, you know, those people will bang the drums for you if they really believe in your concept. So, so go where you're loved, especially early on. And really like harness those connections and those networks, because eventually you're going to get to a place where you want to be. And I think the last thing I would say, which I still really believe in, and I make sure I always entertain everything, but that's, I really believe that every opportunity leads to the bigger picture. So I believe in the butterfly effect. For me, no one is too small or too big to ignore. So, you know, I get quite a few, I get quite a few people asking me for interviews or like students asking me for dissertation advice, you know, to like, you know, be interviewed for their dissertation. And I still try and say yes to everyone and everything. I believe in good karma, I suppose. And I believe that everything's going to, you know, all of these small things are going to end up contributing to the bigger picture, which is to be the world's largest, you know, fashion rental app where you can share your wardrobes.
Very inspiring. At least I'm inspired. Very cool. With what Rotation is doing, with the transformation is now making the industry, how do you see the fashion industry now, you know, 10 years from today? What do you think will sort of happen in that area?
There's been a lot of negative news flow, obviously, about garment workers and the lack of rights that they have and just the general, I guess, opacity in the industry. Like half of us don't really know where things are made. You know, they'll say made in France, but turns out actually they're all made in India. You know, you won't know it, but just because the label that was put on was made in France. You know, and this is being done by some of the biggest fashion houses out there, you know, the most expensive and prestigious ones. So I do think that, you know, in financial services, you have quite a few regulatory bodies. Fashion doesn't seem to have that. And there's been a lot of talk about how there will be some of those. And I think that's pretty, I think that will be good because it will hold a lot of companies accountable. So I think that's going to happen, regulatory bodies. And secondly, I do think that designers are going to cut down on the amount of seasons that they're producing, the amount of clothes that they're producing. There's been a lot of talk about how fast fashion retailers are doing, you know, so-called weekly drops. So that's about, you know, 5,200 items sometimes, you know, per year being produced, which is way too many items if you think about your parents' time and your grandparents' times. So I do think that there's going to be fewer items that are being produced. I like to think they're going to be of higher quality because garment workers are going to have better rights. And I guess the third thing is definitely resale and rental. You know, there's been, you know, both of these sort of areas of the fashion industry are growing. I think resale is meant to be 35 billion by 2025. And rental is meant to be, I think, 3.5 billion. So both of these, you know, consumption side of the picture, these areas are growing. And I like to think they'll be even bigger because we're going to have peer-to-peer when it comes to rental. Because they're not really counting peer-to-peer as part of that. So I do think consumption side of things is also changing because we're all becoming much more aware of what we're putting on our body. You know, we've had that awakening when it comes to what we're eating, you know, how much we're exercising, you know, all this organic, clean eating, all of that stuff. I think now it's time to think about how we're dressing ourselves, you know, what we're putting on our bodies. And I guess the last thing, which I don't know too much about, but it sounds really cool if it does happen, is the, you know, this talk about digital fashion. So, you know, apparently there are some companies doing like holographic models. So you don't need to have like catwalks anymore, apparently. There's also talk about, you know, getting all these apps where you can get fitting done virtually on yourself. So that'll be really cool in terms of, you know, cutting down the amount of online shopping returns. And then there's also this talk about producing actual digital fashion where you buy a jacket and it can be lit up any color based on whether it's summer or winter or whatever, you know, those kind of cool sort of inventions, I suppose. But I don't know how effective they are. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Any closing remarks? Anything that you want to mention that maybe we haven't covered so far?
Yeah, so where you can find us? You can find us on buyrotation.com and also on the App Store and Google Play. It's completely free to download. We're Buyrotation Official on Instagram. And yeah, we're currently UK, open to UK only, but hopefully we'll be, you know, looking at world domination in the next few years.
Rock and roll. World domination. No, no. Not very good. Oh, very nice. Did you bring a quote to share today?
Oh, yes. So this is the one that I live by. And it's very cheesy. But as you get older, you get cheesier, apparently. So it's, if not me, who? If not now, when? Yeah, I have that as an artwork as well. It's my motto for life.
Very self-empowering. Yeah, cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Great to hear your story.
Thank you, Alex and Matthias. It was really, really, do you say Matthias or Matthias? Or I don't know.
Matthias.
Matt. Can I say Matt? Be really American.
Maddie. Whatever.
Yeah, this was super fun and kind of refreshing from a lot of the sustainable fashion podcasts I do. You know, a bit more business oriented, which I enjoy.
That's great. Cool. Yeah, thank you so much for your time. It was really good to hear from you.
You too. Thanks again. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you very much for listening. We really hope you enjoyed it. Our captivating theme song is The Vendetta by Stefan Kartenberg. If you want to connect with us or send a guest recommendation, drop us a line at launch.learn@gmail.com or connect with Matthias or myself on LinkedIn. Have a great one and see you next time on Launch and Learn.
Sorry, guys. I just had to give something to a magazine.
No worries.
Sorry about that. I heard you guys gossiping about my accent.
We only had positive comments. We just said it's very nice to hear such a nice accent.
I heard you saying it was a bit chavvy, apparently.
No. I said the opposite, actually. I said that you have a very nice one. But I used to,
on a podcast, I'm sure.
But I used to live in Staines, near Staines, you might know, and it's a very different accent.
I'll have to find out, Staines.
Okay. Yeah, please don't go there.